You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are listening to the E2C Network, where the Auburn family speaks.
Where you go, Auburn fans? Welcome to No Huddle, your source for Auburn football news and discussion, part of the E2C Network. I'm AJ Richardson. Fall practice has just begun, or fall camp, as people call it. Either way, it's about here, and football is just right around the corner. It's less than a month away. And we got some great interviews from Brian Harsin and a handful of the players on this Auburn football team. I'm really pumped. I've also brought along with me my buddy, Jared Davis, and we're going to be discussing the fall scrimmage practice, all of this throughout this next few weeks leading up into the season. But we're just going to lead this in as practice just got started with you know, what to look forward to. And, hey, we got 25 practices to go in this next month. It's a lot of practices, a lot of good information that I'm sure the coaches are going to hear. And, we're going to hear about some of it too. So Jared, how you doing?
Practice? Are we talking about practice?
That's practice.
I feel like I've used that one before. Can we officially call it fall football if the pumpkin spice latte is not yet out on the menu? I don't know. I thought that kind of symbolized all things fall.
Yeah, and it's like, what, 90 degrees or something right here in Atlanta? So is that fall?
Yeah, 90 is like 7 in the morning. It's brutal by the afternoon. It's tough. I would not want to be in pads. I don't even want to be outside, period. But, I looked at the schedule and there's some teams that play on the 28th, so we're talking 3 weeks away.
Wow.
There's college football all day long that day. I don't know that any of them are worth watching, but it is college football, so I will be watching. And I did watch the at least the first quarter of the Hall of Fame preseason game the other night. So I'm ready, man. I'm excited. Yeah.
And I think, what, CFL just kicked off? And Auburn's got some players like Nick Marshall and Ryan Davis in it. So, hey, that's already started. And they've had some electric plays that I've seen some highlights of. I haven't watched any games yet, but the highlights, like, football's here, and that anytime that gets, you know, I just get excited about it.
I don't know how Ryan Davis gets himself up to go do anything anymore. Like, when you run back a kick, possibly the greatest play in the history of college football, I don't even know how
you get excited.
Are you
talking about Chris Davis, though?
Oh, man, you're right. Yeah, I'm terribly sorry. Forgive me. The Davis, and my last name's Davis. That whole thing threw me off. Yeah. Okay. Forget all that. But if Chris Davis is playing anywhere, I don't know how he gets motivated. Ryan was the, was he the little slot receiver we had?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was awesome, man.
Yeah. His connection to, I think it was Jarrett Stidham at the time, like, they were so good. And then Ryan Davis, I feel like, knew how to miss guys.
Oh. Like, he broke some ankles against Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 2017 for sure. He was a huge part of that success in 2017.
Yeah, no doubt. But, Jared, let's talk about this year and talk about some of the things that we got from this. A few of the key things that I picked up, so 25 practices, and NCAA brought in a new rule where only 9 of those 25 practices can be helmet and pads. So, you know, full contact, hitting hard. There can be other practices as well, I think, with like shells and that kind of stuff where you don't have all of your pads. But I think that that's a interesting change that the NCAA did. I think probably more for player safety, less potential. I think one of the pros is less potential for injuries because of that, which, you know, I feel like that's one of the worst things when you hear during fall practice, like these players have been, you know, getting excited and they get injured right before the season. So I'm hoping that cuts down on some of those injuries. It's yet to be seen if that'll play an effect, but I think that that's an interesting move by the NCAA, and now all teams are having to abide by that. And one of the concerns I do have of, you know, less contact during practices is how much that'll play into the first, you know, game or two, where you feel like you got to come out swinging. You got to hit hard in those first few games, even if it's a, you know, Akron State or, you know, not Akron State or Alabama State. You know, it's like you still have to play hard. And that's going to be something yet to be seen. I know it's a new coaching staff. You know, players are going to want to prove themselves, but it's a different level. Like, you got to come out there ready to go. Something else that I thought was kind of interesting that, and I was trying to look at themes over what Harsin said and what some of the players said. And Jared, I want to get some of your feedback on these things, because as we're listening to Harsin have more interviews and more conferences and hearing more from the players in particular, I feel like I'm learning more about the team and what Harsin is bringing and changing about Auburn football's culture. In a positive way, I think one of the things is consistency. And he said it, players have said it, consistency is a big thing. You know, doing the same thing that you're supposed to every single time. The second thing that I thought of, and players have said this, Coach Harsin has said this as well, being detailed and knowing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, and the small details of all of that, which I think is, again, a positive thing. You need to be very detailed when it comes to football. You know, when you're one-on-one, know what you're supposed to do, line up in the correct spots, that kind of stuff. The third thing that I got, and this was something that I feel like is kind of new, but I guess it makes sense as you're getting closer to the season, is the players and Coach Harsin are very focused. And being focused when you're coming into a football season is very key. So I'm very excited to see how those, you know, consistency, detailed, and focus-oriented aspects of what the players and, you know, the coaches are kind of teaching, how that, you know, transfers into what product we see on the field. Jared, any thoughts on those and kind of what the players and coaches have been saying about those characteristics about what this football team is becoming?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're saying all the right things, and those are, you know, those are the things you need to master to be successful. You got to be very detail oriented. And he's got a track record of proving that. It just happens to be, you know, out at Boise, and nothing against Boise, but the competition week in and week out, it's not the same. So you want to say, hey, you know, I totally buy into this process, and it's without a doubt going to work. And I do think it is going to work. You just don't know. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, AJ, I think he currently is the third winningest active coach out there percentage-wise. And that gives you a confidence with his process. But again, until we got a season under our belt, you're going to keep saying, yeah, but it was Boise State. So, but he's saying all the right things. Look, I really liked Gus. I just think, you know, there were times where, I'm not even saying we weren't detailed with that. I just felt like it was a shorter list of details. I think it was a smaller, potentially, like route running, for example. They might have been very detailed in it, so to speak, but it just wasn't a lot of detail there. They might have known what to do. There just wasn't much to do, if you get my drift. So I think this is going to be more complex, more of a, essentially probably more of a transfer to pro type playbook we're going to be dealing with. And we have two guys that, you know what they're doing as far as quarterbacks, for sure, with Bobo and Harsin. So I'm excited, man. I know that you got all these clips of, this is what we're looking at, this is what a player's doing, this is our focus, culture, details, and all that. We won't know, you know, until middle of the year, but I do believe there is something to it, and I'm excited.
Yeah, same here. And I like your kind of analogy, too, because I think Gus was a detailed person. It was just way more simplified. It was,
yes,
you do these three things very well, and you do them over and over and over. And I think Harsin's is going to be, you know, these seven things, you know, these 10 things, and do them consistently over and over and over. And knowing those things in a detailed way is important, knowing, and I think that's a good, you know, comparison to what Gus did with his system and what Bobo's trying to do with this multiple offense.
Defensive too. My very limited understanding of playbooks, which is basically EA Sports. That's it. My understanding is Gus basically said, "Hey, like this is the play. You do it no matter what. Like this is your route. You do it no matter what." I think if I'm understanding, reading between the lines for the past, you know, 8 months or so with Harsin, it's going to be more of a deal of like, hey, if you see the defense give you this option, we have trained you well enough for, you know, this is what you do instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be the difference. Now, that's tough to trust college kids to do that, especially when you haven't had a full year to implement playbooks. But I think that's also going to be what we're going to see from Bo Nix. Hey, we may see more checkoffs at the line of scrimmage. You know, that doesn't mean we're not going to look over at the coaches, but I just feel like it's going to be, hey, you're right. There's seven options versus two, and we're not just going to put square peg around hole. If you see the defense give you this option, check out to it. Here's what we're doing. Everybody knows what to do now.
Right. And that's what I'm hoping, because, you know, Harsin was asked specifically about, you know, how is Bobo and, you know, his offense, what he's had, how are they going to mesh? And he didn't necessarily give us a straight answer, but based on what the players said, I think that the key word here is downhill, because that's the key word that Shivers and both Tank Bigsby had said. And I think that'll be a good way to start out with the inexperience of our wide receivers. You got to start out that way, downhill. And as we get comfortable and the wide receivers get more, you know, touches of the ball, that'll you know, make Auburn's offense maybe less downhill and a little bit more air raid, a little bit, not a crazy air raid or anything, not like, you know, what's his face, Mike Leach's crazy air raid offense, but you know what I mean, like more passing involved with it that's downfield and not just a little, you know, screen here or, you know, a pass out of the backfield to a wide receiver, you know, something like that. But I'm hoping that the meshing, and this is what they were talking about. I mean, the meshing of their offenses sounds like they both, like Bobo and Harsin, kind of like where it's going to head, especially with the experience of both Tank Bigsby, Shivers, and you guys like Jarquez Hunter and Jordan. There's going to be guys that can take the load and help them out. And I think that also comes back to offensive line and what, you know, the players that we have, what, I think 8 guys that have starting time coming back this year. So, you know, have they gelled all together with a lot of the injuries and, you know, stuff last year? It was kind of hard to do, but they've had a full off season. So I think that'll help with the offensive, how the offense will look. Now, I mean, Jared, what's kind of your thought process on the offensive line and how that'll help with this offense and what it's going to look like?
Well, real quick, I want to say, I think I saw a stat where Bo Nix is tied with his dad, Pat Nix, for passing yards. Which is kind of amazing, that down to the exact yardage. I would be okay if they were still tied at the end of the year and Bo being our starter. That means we run the ball the entire game. But I'm joking a little bit, but I do think that's our strength. As far as offensive line goes, I don't know. I mean, I really do feel like up until probably the last 3 games, they were hitting their stride. We were doing okay. And then I think we lost a couple of key starters. And I still go back to the fact that, you know, last year, as far as man-for-man lining up, A&M was about as solid as it comes. And we were controlling that game going into the fourth quarter. So, you know, I mean, Bama was on just a different level. That was silly. But from all right, let's line up, you know, smash mouth football, A&M was a good litmus test.
Mm-hmm.
We rose to the challenge for 3 quarters, and that was even with a hampered offensive line. So yeah. I think we're going to be okay, man. I really do. I mean, we're not going to win a national championship, but I think we're going to be kind of surprised at how well we do with the O-line, running the ball. Still think our biggest question mark is, you know, has Bo figured out the basics? We know he can do the crazy throws. Has he mastered the basics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And kind of back to the offensive line, like I think the main guys that are looking like they'll probably be the starting lineup, you got Alex Troxell, Manning, Nick Broms, Council, and Bredarius Ham. So I think those five guys, you may not have heard their names before, but they have been consistent starters at some point in the last few years. So I feel like having those guys kind of as our, they played together before, that'll help the run game. And I think it'll give Bo some more confidence when it comes to how much time he's got in the pocket to throw the ball when he needs to.
Didn't you say Brom was on a first team all SEC watch list or something?
That one went right over my head. I did not realize that until I was looking him up. But yeah, he was first team or preseason all SEC team. So, I mean, he's getting some recognition. I mean, literally in the SEC, he was looked at as the number one center. And, I mean, he's a smart guy. I mean, I think he had an internship with Delta. Like, he's a smart guy. And for the most part, I didn't have any issues with him last year. So, I think it was just the overall offensive line having issues with guys getting injured and all that. So, I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting that they're going to – that he was on a list, but at the same time, he's also been here. He's a senior. He's been around the block a few times, and now he's ready to lead this team. So from that aspect, it doesn't shock me as much.
Good for him. Hopefully he finishes the year on the first team all SEC list.
That would be incredible. That if he's first team all SEC by the end of it, I'm going to guess we finished top two or three in the SEC. Like, we had a really good season that year.
I like it.
Hey, Auburn fans. I want to take a quick timeout from this episode to bring your attention to something very special. Here at the E2C Network, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best content for Auburn fans out there. And best of all, it's free to you. But just because it's free doesn't mean there aren't costs. Especially when you have a library of hundreds of podcasts, videos, blogs, and more. Many of you have reached out and asked how you can support this network in the past. Well, now I have your answer. It's called the E2C Network Booster Club over at patreon.com/E2C Network. There you'll find a membership monthly reward system where you can sign up for as little as $1 and get different perks at different tiers. Some of those perks include things such as apparel, eligibility to join us on future podcasts, recognition as an E2C Network booster, exclusive communications, and bonus content that is available nowhere else. If you love this network and want to help us keep producing podcasts like this one, please head on over to patreon.com/E2C Network to join the E2C Network Booster Club. You can also get there by going to our website, e2cnetwork.com/support. Whether you decide to join or not, we are still so appreciative that you would support us by just listening and being here, because each and every one of you is part of our E2C Network family. Well, that's it. Timeout's over. Let's get back into the episode.
Another thing that I want to talk about was our running back situation. So I mentioned, our running back scheme, and this is something Shivers and Tank both said was they wanted, like, it's going to be a downhill offense, hit the gap hard and not sit behind the line of scrimmage, kind of wait around, see what happens. No, just hit the hole, go for it, push forward. And one of the other things, and I thought this was kind of interesting that Tank said, was he's gained some extra weight. I think he's almost up to 190. But for a guy who's like 5'5", that's some pretty hefty weight for a guy of that height. And, that he said, I love it. He said something to the extent of like, I've gained some weight, but, I haven't lost any of my speed. He was like, no, that's God given talent. I was like, that's awesome.
That's what Shiver said.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I love it. But a couple other guys that definitely have gotten some notoriety, is Jarquez Hunter and Jordan Ingram. I wanted to get your feedback, Jared. What do you think about these kind of next up behind Tank and Shivers? What do you think about Jarquez and Jordan?
I'm totally honest with you, would be surprised if Jarquez isn't technically our second most productive running back. It's going to be Shivers. I mean, they're not going to – I mean, he just – from a leadership standpoint, will probably always be listed as the second running back, but – I just think from what I'm hearing, Jacquizz has a lot of natural ability. I love Shivers, but I just think it's going to be that's how it's going to end at the end of the year. Although Shivers came out and said Jordan Ingram reminds him a lot of Kerryon, and where he's very patient, and then when he sees the hole, he hits it hard. So, you know, when you start comparing someone to Kerryon, you know, that gets me excited too. I mean, I realize that that's just one aspect of Kerryon's game, but I mean, that guy was, I mean, we just rode him 2017. That was, if he's anywhere like that, that will be nice to have him as the fourth option. And we might have, you know, we were all panicking at the end of last year when we lost running backs, and we might be in a pretty good spot right now, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a solid three, if not four, deep in the running back room. Of course, I'd love to have more, but I think three to four right now is a good spot to be at coming into this year where, you know, like you said, last year we were struggling with depth. Also, another thing I wanted to mention was our wide receivers. And Harson was asked about consistency, you know, and one of the things about wide receivers is they need to be consistent. And what I mean by that is wide receivers, they do a lot of things. They do a lot of blocking. They do a lot of running around. They need to know exactly where they're at every point in the game, every point of the play, know exactly where you're at. And there's a mindset that needs to be activated for that to be consistent every single play. And it helps wide receivers. It helps everybody on the team. If you're consistent with what you're doing, especially at wide receiver, you can be a big asset to this team. And you'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded with some great passes. You'll be the one that's getting open and making the touchdown catches. Like, it's going to happen. And so that's something that Harson was talking about, especially these young wide receivers, is make sure you have consistency. So, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the product of that and starting to see some of the growth that comes from what we saw in A-Day, where, you know, it kind of was hard to watch some of the wide receiver game. And now we need to get up to a level. I know, yeah, we lost Seth Williams. Yeah, we lost Anthony Schwartz. Yeah, we lost Eli Stove last year. But there's got to be guys that step up. There have to be, for us to be a well-rounded team. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, Elijah Kenyon or Kobe Hudson or even, you know, the guy that's just transferred and, you know, now arrived on campus, Demetrius Robertson from the Georgia transfer. I hope at least one or two of those guys really step up this year and become leaders of that wide receiver room.
Yeah, I mean, the potential obvious guy to maybe be a leader from on the field perspective, I guess, would be Robertson. If he can, you know, I don't know, we're coming in pretty late here, but if he can get acquainted, and he's got, you know, he was at Cal, he was, I think, freshman All-American out there, spent some time at Georgia, so he knows the college game. I mean, we got a bunch of young guys. I think we got some young guys that are talented. I mean, we don't give we don't give Cody Burns enough credit for what he did, especially with the reputation that was out there of how we don't pass the ball and run certain routes. So we got some four-star guys. They're just young. So, yeah, we definitely need to see consistency without a doubt. That's going to be key, and that's probably what Harsons is going to look for, and that's what's going to keep you out there on the field.
Yeah, I think so as well. And the guys that consistently, I mean, the number one thing, catch the ball as a wide receiver. If you can do that, you're going to get more play time out there. Let's also talk about some of the defensive items that were brought up. So one of the things, you know, we're switching to a Derek Mason defense. And the good thing that I saw and have heard from a lot of the players, because anytime you change over coaches, you're kind of worried, you know, how are the players going to react to it? How are they going to be able to learn the new system? And from what a lot of the players have been saying, it's very similar to what Kevin Steele has done, which a lot of the players, especially the veterans, they know what Kevin Steele's defense was. And Kevin's defense was a pretty solid defense. And now having Derek Mason come in, that the similarities are still there. Yeah, we're going to line up a little bit differently, but the similarities are close enough that it's not this oh, wow, what are we doing here? It's, oh, you make this small tweak to where you line up, and you do pretty much the same thing. That's what I like about it. And I'm hoping to see the product on the field not be a drop-off from, you know, the years that we've had under Kevin Still as our defensive coordinator. Jared, what do you think about, you know, Derek Mason and what he's doing with this defense?
I keep being told he's a great asset and he was a great hire, and I truly think he is. I do think we have limited tape. I mean, he was at Stanford, D coordinator there for only a few years, and then I think he got the Vanderbilt job. It's really just his energy to me that excites me. And listening to the players talk, I mean, I think Colby Wooden's talking about how he's got him flying around.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's got guys that, you know, he's basically setting it up to where, you know, you're going to have T.D. Moultrie and these guys coming off the edge. He's like, we're going to have a lot more sacks this year. This is Colby Wooden talking. So I think that, you know, I think the energy that he brings, I think we got a young, energetic staff pretty much all in all. I mean, we got a young guy coaching the D-line. We got a young guy coaching the safeties, secondary. So I think we'll be ready mentally. I think we'll be ready with our energy. Only thing we've heard about Derek is that he knows how to coach defenses. So at that point, that's the scheme too. So we should check all three off.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think it seems to be, because if I was Derek Mason, head coach, or, you know, CEO, transitioning to you're just focusing on defense. That's it. It would take me a minute to switch back. And it sounds like Derek Mason has jumped, you know, feet first into this and ready to go. He wants to be the next defensive, you know, best defensive coordinator in this league. And when that happens, he's probably going to get plucked up. And I think that's the inevitable. Like, he'll get another head coaching gig somewhere else after, you know, a year or two. And that's another thing I think is kind of nice, is Derek Mason isn't, you know, completely throwing the defensive playbook out. He's saying, hey, this is my playbook. This is what we do. It's similar to what you've done in the past. And so, you know, in a few years, when I think Derek Mason probably leaves to go to, you know, a head coaching gig somewhere else, I'm hoping that the transition after that point will be good. And that's, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, depending on how well Derek Mason does as a defensive coordinator. One other thing, and this is, you know, been buzzing around on, you know, message boards, Twitter, about what's happening with Tyrone Truesdell, because there's word on him potentially he's already left the team or he's going to be leaving the team. And the rumor is more of that it's a family reason that he's leaving the team. We have no official any statements from Tyrone or the team or coaches about this. So I just think if he is leaving the team, then we are going to have to step up on defensive line, because he, as I think it was a 4th or 5th year senior, he was going to be a solid defensive line guy for us, and to not have him, it'll hurt a little, but I'm glad we were able to pick up some guys like Tony Fair that, you know, add some depth to our defensive line that have experience playing D1 college football. So Jared, any thoughts on Tyrone potentially leaving the team if he's not already left the team?
I don't know enough about it. I've heard the rumors you have that actually all I've heard right now is that he's not listed on the roster. And I guess that's what started the rumors. So the preseason roster. So I don't know what's going on. I think he was a 5th year. I think he was utilizing that COVID exemption where last year didn't count. That's the only reason he was able to even come back. Yes, I mean, he's a big body that we got to try to replace. I mean, on the one hand, if your only option is to come back for a 5th year, you know, I don't know his stats to know how much he was helping us last year, but he is a big guy. Leadership wise, would have probably been a huge help. And you're right, we got the Tony Fair that came in. I don't know if that opens up more room for JJ Pegues. I'm not sure position wise as to, you know, what those two play in comparison, but maybe that opens up JJ to where JJ wouldn't have gotten it because, hey, that guy's a 5th year senior. sit back down. No, now we have to give you a shot. And maybe you're a freak of nature, which we've already proven he is. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean.
The dude can hurdle, guys. And
yeah, 360
do spin
hurdle.
Moves.
Yeah. I mean, he's a freak of nature. Yeah. What? Maybe he gets his chance. You know, you never know. Next man up. I mean, I think that's really going to be Harsin's mentality as well. I know everybody preaches it, but I think that's going to be the culture. Like, listen, next man up. You got to, I mean, this is your time to shine. Go make it happen. So we'll see. But you don't want to be losing any guys. I mean, let's just be honest. You don't want to lose any guys. But, and if it's family reasons, you know, I hope the best for him and his family. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure as the next week or so progresses, we'll probably hear more about it. And, see what actually, you know, was it a family reason or was it something else? One other thing, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this because Harsin was asked about Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. We've discussed this before, but I loved Harsin's response. He said, so when's this happening? And the reporter was like, it's 2025. And Harsin, yeah, you could tell right out of his mouth, like he was ready to get some, you know, snarky, sarcastic response out. And he kind of, you know, reined it in a little bit, but he pretty much was like, yeah, we're focused on like the current items, you know, things we're working on right now. That's years down the road. I'm not worrying about it. And, you know, that's the right response, especially football season is literally a month away and something's four or five years down the road. He's like, yeah, we're not worrying about that yet at all.
He's more focused about getting that Bo Nix coupon at Bojangles. He's like, I want to know how I get that. That's the here and now, okay?
Hey, but, and then maybe some Milo's too.
Give me a Milo sweet tea and a Bo Nix raid at the at Bojangles.
Ooh, that's
yeah,
a deal.
I think that's his mentality. I think, you know, was it Kyle? You were telling me, I think Kyle, who heads this whole podcast up for people that don't know, had kind of likened Harsin to a nicer Nick Saban. Is that correct? Is that what he was saying?
Yeah, yeah. And this was on one of the YouTube lives I was watching that Kyle did.
Or a funnier Nick Saban, sorry. Funnier.
Yeah, kind of funnier, snarkier, like not as, what's the
rigid,
word?
Rigid, maybe? Not as like...
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, we all talk about Saban as much as we're on the other side of the state as Saban. We you know, see his leadership and what he's done at Alabama. And to some level, we want some of that consistent success that Saban has. And that's, you know, coming from a huge Auburn fan like myself. And Auburn's had their success. It's just been, you know, spurts. Like we'll get 2010, 2013, 2017. And even, you know, some extent, like decent in even 2019. It wasn't the best season, but it was a freshman Bo Nix. And like, what do you expect? Like, you had some spurts of like really awesome things. And yet we are always kind of like, all right, we're looking at Saban. What's he doing? And I think Nick Saban's personality is kind of similar to Brian Harsin's. And I think I agree with what Kyle was saying on the YouTube live is it's you know, just we're doing things, we're focused, we're detailed, we're doing this, next man up, you know, those kinds of things. And I think Harsin, yeah, we probably didn't get to see that because he was at Boise State, but I think we're starting to see some of that, some of those aspects that I think Alan Green probably looked at and said, you know what, Auburn fans are always wanting, you know, who's going to be the next guy that's going to be the next Nick Saban or Dabo Swinney. And I'm thinking that that's part of the reason that we ended up going with Harsin.
Yeah. And I go back to at the beginning of the podcast. I mean, look, I think Harsin has kind of proven that it's just been at a smaller level. So, you know, can he replicate that here? We're not kidding ourselves. We're not trying to say he's at the level of Nick Saban success-wise, but he has some character traits that probably are going to that mimic Nick Saban and are probably going to help Auburn football. And he also happens just to come across a little more likable. So, if you can mix those two, then, you know, he'll be a huge success. So, yeah, I do agree with Kyle in that regard. I do see several characteristics that are similar. And, you know, we won't know, though. I mean, we're going to find out in about 4 weeks a little bit, but we won't know fully until, you know, 4 months down the road. So it'll be a fun ride. Hopefully we'll have some success and, you know, just get this thing rolling.
Yeah, exactly. And Jared and I have plans for doing some off-season stuff leading up into the season. We're going to do our regular season preview. Got some other topics as well. So stay tuned for those as, you know, football season is ramping up. We will get you some awesome conversations to talk about at the water cooler with some of your coworkers.
Everybody's working at home, AJ. So what are we?
So you
can't share a water cooler anymore.
Oh, dang it! So what is the new analogy over Zoom session?
I don't know. Yeah, your Zoom session. Yeah. Sorry, just messing with you.
Yeah, no problem. Jared, any other final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, just excited and ready to get it going. Need a little cooler weather, but you know, it's about here, everybody. We're, like I said, 3 weeks away from live college football, so I'm excited.
It's crazy. It is so crazy to be that close to some live college football, and just to think it's a regular, you know, quote unquote regular off season, a regular season this year instead of doing an all conference game. It's kind of nice to get back to, you know, the quote-unquote normal football schedule, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's got that feel. I realize that things are still going on in the world, in the pandemic, but it definitely appears that they are moving forward in a normal fashion. And, you know, from a spectator standpoint, that definitely is exciting because it gives you that feel of, okay, this is what I've grown up loving, you know?
Right, exactly. I mean, I did appreciate the super hard competition of doing 10 SEC games. That's a tough go at it. Like you're going at it every week. There's not really a team that you can really overlook because it's the SEC and it's just tough competition. But before we get out of here, Jared, how can the people stay in touch with you?
You can find me on Facebook at Jared, just under my name, Jared Davis.
And you can find me on Twitter at @AJAY_. It's always great to be an Auburn Tiger and War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode on the E2C Network. On your way out, I want to remind you to stop by E2CNetwork.com. It's your one-stop shop for all our content across our podcast, YouTube channel, and much more. To stay up to date with us, make sure you're following social media accounts such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. While our content here may always be Auburn sports heavy, if it's orange and blue, it's what we do. War Eagle.